Friends, we turn to the Epistle of Paul to Philemon. So Philemon, as I said in previous weeks, tucked in between Titus and Hebrews. Okay, so you go to the New Testament, go to Revelation, flick back through Revelation, Jude, those little epistles of John, Peter and James, and the Hebrews. Then you come to Philemon. And we're going to read, as we read last week, from verse 1 down to verse 7. So Philemon, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the bearing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation, or great joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Amen. So reads God's precious word. The theme of this little epistle, as you know, is the theme of forgiveness. And this morning we come to verses 4 to 7, and we're going to look at the spiritual character of the one who forgives. What kind of person has the capacity to forgive? Now, last week we looked at this from a negative perspective, so today we're going to jump straight in at verse 4 and look at it from the positive side. So verse 4, Paul says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Now, I'll just comment on that very briefly. In effect, what he's saying is, every time I pray about you, it is with thanksgiving. Another way to frame it would be to say, always when you come up in my prayers, I express thanks. I mean, I don't have anything other to say to God for you or on behalf of you, Philemon, other than thank you. Thank you, God, for my brother Philemon. I don't know any negatives about you. Everything I've ever heard about you and everything I've ever experienced with you has only been good. Furthermore, verse 5, hearing. Literally continuing to hear. Philemon, the word keeps coming to me about you. And that makes me pray for you. And my prayer is just simply, God, thank you. Paul is saying, I pray, and in my prayers you come up. And every time you come up, I thank God for you. Because every time I hear something about you, and I'm continually hearing something about you, it is always positive. My friends, what a wonderful statement. All the news about you, Philemon, is good. You know, you read through this little epistle, there is nothing in this letter to correct Philemon. There is nothing in the letter to suggest that he was out of line. There is nothing to suggest that he had any error in his theology, that something wasn't right in his home, that something wasn't right in his marriage. I mean, friends, everything was just as it should be in this man's life. And so Paul says, everything I know about you makes me say thank you to God for you. And what did he hear? What did he know about him? Six things. Number one, he had a concern for the Lord. Verse 5. He says, I hear of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus. Now, the phrase I want you to grab hold of, first of all, is that reference to faith. He's saying, the first thing I hear about you is that you have a true faith in the Lord Jesus and a concern for the Lord. I know I can come to you, Philemon, and I know that I can ask you to forgive because you have a true saving faith. You're a genuine Christian, and therefore you have the ability to forgive. You have been forgiven, and so you can forgive. You have the impulses of the new life. You have the prompting of the indwelling Holy Spirit. You experience the conviction of the Word of God. You are a true believer. And because you're a true believer desires to do what is right and honors the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I can appeal to you, Philemon, to forgive because you are concerned about the Lord. And by the way, that verb you have is present tense. You continue to have an ongoing, continuous nature of concern for the Lord. You have continuing trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have an unwavering faith. You are faithful, you are true, you are genuine. He says, Philemon, you walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You exhibit trust in him in everything. You seek his will. Therefore, I know that you will forgive. You see, those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we pointed out a few weeks ago when we started our study of this little epistle, those of us who are believers, we have been forgiven much. We realize that. And because we have been forgiven much, therefore we can forgive. We are those of whom Paul wrote, you remember, in Ephesians 4, verse 23, and all, Ephesians 4, 32, and also Colossians 3, verse 13. We are numbered among those who are to forgive one another because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. We are those who are described in the parable of Matthew 18 who have been forgiven an unpayable debt and should go out, therefore, and forgive others. And Paul is saying, Philemon, you have real faith. You're a true believer, and therefore you can forgive. And what he's really saying here is that the first characteristic of a forgiver is that they are Christians. They have a concern for the Lord. He loves the Lord, wants to honor the Lord, is desirous to express his faith in the Lord. And because his faith is real, he has the capacity to forgive. He has a new nature. He is born again. He is a new creation. He has the indwelling Holy Spirit, and therefore he has the ability to forgive. Secondly, a forgiven person also has a concern for people. Continuing in verse 5, Paul says, I hear of your love and faith, which you have toward all the saints. And I just want to focus on love for the saints. You love the saints. Now, this is agape love. This is love of choice, love of will. This is love of self-sacrifice, love of humility. This is the love that says, I don't care about myself, I care about you. This is the love that says, I will make any sacrifice to meet your need. This agape love is a love that says, it's not just emotion with me, it's obedience. So I'm not compelled to serve you because there's something about you that's attractive. No, I am compelled to serve you because there's something about the power of God working within my life that moves me that way, that compels me to do that. And friends, this is what Paul describes elsewhere in his epistles, you know, Galatians 5, verse 6, as faith working through love. And remember when we went through 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul says to that Thessalonican church, he says, I don't have to teach you to love. Why not? Because you're taught by God to love. Romans chapter 5, he says, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. 1 John verse 3, John simply says, if you're born again, you love your brothers. And if you don't love your brothers, you're not born again. Simple as. In other words, Paul's writing to Philemon here, and he says, you're a Christian. You have the capacity to forgive. You have the love of God poured out in your heart. You have been taught by God to love. It's there. It's the love of the Spirit that is in you. And so he's saying to Philemon, I know that you can be a forgiver. Why? Because your faith is real. And you have a concern for the Lord. And your love is real. And you have a concern for other people. Thirdly, the one who is a forgiver has a concern for fellowship. He says, continuing in verse 5 and into verse 6, he says, I hear of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. In the verse 6, sharing of your faith may become effective, or the fellowship. Sharing means fellowship. The fellowship of your faith may become effective. Now here he's adding another concept. He's saying you have true saving faith, you have true spiritual love, and you have a desire for fellowship. You have a faith that pursues fellowship. He calls it the sharing of your faith. And he adds, I am hoping that the sharing of your faith may become effective. Now that's the word for power, and it means powerful. He says, I know you care about sharing or fellowship, he says. Now that's true of Christians. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you care about fellowship. You care about the body of Christ. That's what he's saying. You're concerned about others. You say, I want to forgive because I don't want, you know, chaos in the fellowship. You're saying, I want to forgive because I want harmony within the fellowship. I want peace within the fellowship. I want unity within the fellowship. It's about the fellowship, but the church, but the body of Christ. There's no individualism that says, I don't really care about you. There is no individualism that says, I don't really care about church. I'm going to do what I want, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care about anybody else. And I don't care about the church. No Christian can say that. You know, you get people who say, on a Sunday, I'll drive up to the lakes and I'll have fellowship with God among the lakes. And I'll pray and I'll sing praise and I'll enrich my soul and I'll have fellowship with God. And God says, your fellowship is with my body. You want to have fellowship with me in the lakes? Do it on a Saturday. And prepare your heart on the Saturday for meeting with me and my people on the Sunday. You know, the person who says, I'll go and with my fishing rod and sit by the canal and I'll fish on a Sunday, and I'll have my fellowship with God. God says, your fellowship is with my people. And you know, for any folks that are listening on this online and saying, well, I can have my fellowship as I sit listening to sermons in the comfort of my own living room. God will have dealings with you in eternity. God will say, why weren't you meeting with my people? Why weren't you fellowshipping? Why weren't you concerned about sharing? You see, no Christian can say that I'm not concerned about fellowship. A Christian says, I care about sharing, I care about the fellowship, I care about the body of Christ, I care about the unity of the body of Christ, I care about the ministry, I care about mutual sharing. You know, friends, when we talk about fellowship, we usually mean enjoying somebody else's company, and that's certainly part of it. But that's not what we're talking about here in this little epistle to Philemon. What we're talking about here is belonging. You belong to somebody. You belong to somebody else, and somebody else belongs to you in a mutual partnership and a mutual fellowship. So he says, Philemon, I know that you're concerned with the importance of this mutual sharing, this mutual belonging. And what's the implication here? The implication is this. Well, Philemon, Onesimus is coming back to you. And you know from reading this epistle that Onesimus is now a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Philemon, that means that he belongs to you not only as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. And you belong to him. Not just as a master, but as a brother in Christ. And Philemon, I know that you care about belonging. That's the idea. I know that that's important to you. And then he says, I want the sharing of your faith to become effective. I want it to become powerful. I want it to have an impact. You see what he's saying, friends? If you forgive, it's going to have a powerful impact. It's going to reverberate. Because, you know, this was a serious crime that Onesimus had done. You know, it could have meant his life. Certainly it could have meant going to prison for a very long time. And Paul is saying, look, Philemon, just unconditionally forgive. And when you do that, that's going to send a strong message to the church. And it's also going to send a strong message to others within your community. Because they know what this slave has done. And when they say, and when they see you forgiving them, their curiosity is going to be aroused and they're going to be saying, Philemon, why did you do that? And it's going to produce an opportunity for you to witness to them. And they're going to see the importance that you put on the body of Christ and the priority of belonging and the priority of fellowship. And so you see, friends, it doesn't matter what a man or a woman does to you. If you can take that person back and forgive them and embrace them and love them and that with that agape love, you're making a strong statement about your concern for the fellowship. So the person with true saving faith is concerned about the Lord. A person who has loved the Lord, had the love of God poured out in his heart, is concerned about other people. And a person who cares about the fellowship, they have that as a priority of the mutual belonging to others in their mind, and they want to enhance that. This is going to be the kind of person who is eager to forgive. So if you love the Lord, if you love people, if you love the fellowship, you will be a forgiver. There's a fourth concern, and that is he had a concern for knowledge. Paul wanted him to be reminded of this, and so Paul says again, verse 6, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you. Now stop at that point. By the acknowledgement of every good thing that is within you. When you became a Christian, You're a brother, you're a sister in Christ here this morning. You became a Christian. Did God put good things in you? Yes, he did. Isn't that right? I know you're answering from the heart. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know that there are a lot of good things in you, many good things. And Paul is saying to Philemon, I want you to acknowledge every good thing in you. Now, how do I acknowledge every good thing in me? Well, you live it out. You apply it. You practice it. It becomes an acknowledgement of who you are. He's saying, Philemon, if you forgive this guy, now listen and follow me in this. If you forgive this guy, you're going to immediately experience the good thing in you called forgiveness. You can read a book about forgiveness, but you wouldn't really know it because you haven't experienced it. You could hear me preach about forgiveness and tell you how wonderful it is, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, etc., etc. But you wouldn't really know it until you did it. You know how to get the knowledge of the good things that are in you. Exercise them. Begin to live them. You find out the tremendous goodness of what God has placed within you when you walk in obedience to the will of God and you do the things. And as you do the things and you experience those things in your own life, then you have the knowledge of them. God has given you the capacity to forgive. Forgive somebody and experience it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, Philemon, once you do it, you're going to experience the joy of forgiveness. And say, I can read words on the pages of the Bible that define forgiveness, but I will never, ever have the deep knowledge of forgiveness until I forgive and experience it. And that's how I learn to acknowledge every good thing that God puts within me. Fifth component in the character of someone who forgives: a concern for glory. And that comes at the end of verse 6, okay? This little phrase, in Christ Jesus, actually the Greek says, unto Christ. In other words, he's saying, Philemon, I know you have fellowship as a priority. I want it to be powerful. I know you have a concern about knowledge. And I want that to be the knowledge of every good thing that is in you. And I know you want all of this for Christ's sake. That's implied, okay? In other words, you're concerned about the glory of Christ. You do it as unto him. The Christian life, with all its deeds, with all its joys, with all its works, with all its responsibilities, beloved, is for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for his sake. It's for Christ's name. It's for Christ's praise. It's for Christ's glory. And beloved, if you are devoted to that, you are going to forgive. You know, you can't say in one breath, I want to live to the glory and the praise of God in Christ, and then in the next breath say, but I'm not going to forgive him, or I'm not going to forgive her. You see, friends, if you're saying that, what you're really saying is, I'm not interested in Christ's glory. I'm only interested in my vengeance. But vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So that grievance or whatever it is, you just leave that with the Lord. And God says, you live to my glory. And if you live to my glory, you will forgive. If you want to honor Christ, you will forgive, says God, as I forgive you. Now surely Philemon was concerned to glorify Christ. Surely he would do it unto Christ. The one who forgives then is marked by a concern for the Lord, a concern for the people, a concern for fellowship, a concern for deep experiential knowledge, and a concern for the glory of his Lord. Last point, number 6. The person who forgives is characterized by a concern to be a blessing. And this again is implied. Verse 7, Paul says, we have great joy and consolation or comfort. You might have a little sort of one or an A beside consolation in your Bible. It'll take you to a marginal note that says that this word can also be translated comfort. We have great joy and consolation or comfort in your love. You know, this man, Philemon, had a reputation for love. And Paul says, your love has brought me joy and comfort. Not just joy and comfort. He says, it has brought me great joy and comfort. I have come to the point where you've given me cause to rejoice. I have come to the point where you're encouraging my heart by your love. In what way? Verse 7, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. And again, beloved, what a statement. He says, people in trouble, people suffering, people hurting, people struggling, they have found you to be a blessing. You refresh them. You bring those people rest. You're a peacemaker. You renew people. You care about your service. And you're refreshing hearts. And you're bringing solace to those dear troubled folks. You see, Philemon was just a man of instinctive kindness. He was a blessing to everybody. And friends, that kind of person will forgive. That kind of person is concerned to refresh others. And if he's going to refresh others, he's going to extend the hand of forgiveness. He's going to be the type of guy that says, I don't want to bring any trouble into your life. I don't want to make you, you know, unsettled or anything. I don't want to bring you any disturbance. I want to bring you rest. So therefore, I'll forgive. Now, while Philemon is reading this, he may well by now be saying to himself, Lord, thank you for using me like this. Thank you that I'm this type of encourager. Now, remember when we sort of ended up last week on the negatives and how Paul is trying to get, by the power of the Holy Spirit, how Paul is trying to get Philemon to think here. You know, there's the negative side, isn't there, where, you know, somebody can encourage you so much. And we live in a, you know, in the age where we're in a constant spiritual battle. The negative side is you become full of pride. You pat yourself on the back and say, you know, what a great guy I am. But then there's the positive side, and it's this positive side that Paul is hoping that will come out here. As Paul is commending Philemon, Philemon is reading this, and he's saying, thank you, Lord, for making me like this, you know, for making me such an encourager. That's exactly what Paul hopes he's saying in this positive side, because in verse 8, he's going to hit Philemon between the eyes with what he needs him to do. And he's going to have to do it. And if he doesn't do it, he's not living up to the marks that Paul has just highlighted. And so he's saying to himself, as we said last week, I don't want to be a discouragement. I don't want to let anybody down. I don't want to let the Lord down. I don't want to let my brothers and sisters in Christ down who are looking at me and they're seeing me walking in this way. I want to make sure that I maintain that testimony before them. And that's the position that Philemon is in at the minute. He wants to be the man who will maintain that testimony when Paul tells him what he wants them to do. So anybody who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, anybody who loves the saints, anybody who loves the fellowship, the body of Christ, the church, anybody who loves true knowledge, anybody who loves the glory of Christ, anybody who longs to be and loves to be a blessing to others, is going to be the type of character, going to have the spiritual character to forgive others. That, friends, is the spiritual character of the kind of people who forgive. And so Paul establishes that character as the character of Philemon. And then, as we'll see, he asks him to forgive, and we'll see the actions of the one who forgives.